by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of us are happy to be in church this Sunday? All right, can we turn our Bibles quickly to Psalm 133? Psalm 133. I want us to read it together until it sinks deep into us. Won't just read it, we'll know it, and we'll leave it. Let's say amen. It won't just be only written in the pages of the scripture, but it will be a written code in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow, 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 wow. Okay. So like I said, Psalm 133 will not just be remaining on, in my Bible now is in page 773. It will just remain in page 773. It will become my living code. It will become what will be a framework inside our soul. Alright, so can we read it together? One, two, go. We are reading from verse 1 to the end. One, two, go. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant. And how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down from upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Can we read it together again? We'll take it three times. That will go into the lesson of today. Two more times. Next one. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. One more time. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as a dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing of a life forevermore. How many of us are interested in life forevermore? Now, the key to life forevermore is verse 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. So anything that is fighting my dwelling together with my brother, with my sister, a unity is fighting me off life forevermore. It's as simple as that. That's what David was saying in Psalm 133. As long as I am seeing a threat to my dwelling together with my brother in unity, that thing is not just threatening my dwelling together with my brother, it is threatening my access to life for what? Forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord will help us in this season. We will be greatly wise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's obvious we have entered into a season where we have no choice but love. We have no choice. We have no choice. We are choiceless in this matter. Except we are not looking for life. If we are not interested in life, we are not interested in living, we are not interested in salvation, then you have a choice. You can choose not to love your brother. He said, he that loveth not his brother, is one, a murderer. Abby is in darkness, and that darkness is a darkness up until that time that he's still not loving his brother. And also, there is plenty occasion to do what? To stumble, not outside him, in him. Meaning he has a configuration that will make him stumble. Why? Because he's not loving his brother. Now, it's obvious that it's not a thing of choice, really. It's a thing of commandment. Like mommy, as our mommy would always say, one of the stories that baffles her the most, and for me, is a serious baffling story, is Joyce Meyer. How would a woman or a young girl, a teenager, be molested by her own father? Not uncle, not next door neighbor, her own biological father, the father that gave birth to her, molested her since when she became a teenager, slept with her in most ridiculous places, in graveyard, in any way you cannot think of. In fact, there was a particular scenario. He wanted to sleep with the girl. A policeman caught them and said, what do you want to do? He said, okay, for you not to arrest me, sleep with her. Now, you can't imagine a young lady going through all of that. She says she takes a bath over and over again because she feels dirty. But in the midst of that, she got born again. She became a minister. It's not that she wasn't taking care of the father. She was taking care of the father, but at a distance. Lord told her, he said, where your father is far. Bring him close. How would I bring him close? I will be remembering what he's doing. Meaning, the Lord is not even in those things. He's not seeing it. Now, it's a difficult stand for us to take. Because why? We have a wrong frame within us. You know, when they brought that, like Pisa was saying this morning, when they brought that lady to Jesus, and they said she was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, everybody around her was going to accuse her. But when Jesus brought forth the judgment that was different from the judgment of everybody around, it was obvious that this woman was going to be set free. And her freedom came from then. So we need to understand that the issue of loving my brother, forgiving my brother, walking in sincere and fervent love towards my brother is not a choice. It's a commandment. Jesus said, I gave you a new commandment. It's a commandment. Love is a dwelling together with my brother in unity is a commandment. Because if you don't obey that commandment, we will shut ourselves off life forevermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. All right, today we are continuing again. We are looking at the case for house fellowship. The reason for the house fellowship, why the Lord would want us to dwell together in communal life. The topic, we are looking at the furtherance of the community life through the house fellowship. Can we look at 1 Peter chapter 1? And that Hebrews chapter 10. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1. Okay. It said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So you see, all those locations have brethren around them. Can we pray? Our Father, we give praise to your name, Jesus. We thank you for your mercy again this morning. We thank you for the help of your Spirit. We acknowledge our insufficiency. We acknowledge our helplessness. Acknowledge our weakness. I rely absolutely on you this morning to communicate that which you alone want to communicate through this lesson unto every one of us. You are the one that wants to speak to us. our ears, our heart are open. Lord, we ask in your mercy that you would help us to connect your very thought for today's lesson in the name of Jesus. You will show us mercy, Lord. At the end of this lesson, we would all be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Peter was writing to strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. They were all scattered, and there is a need for letters to be written unto them, you know, for people in those different localities. So God is always concerned about where his people gather, in whatever locality they gather. Can we look at Hebrews chapter 10, a very popular scripture? Hebrews chapter 10, yes. It said, let us consider one another to do what? To provoke unto love and unto good works. Let us consider one another. Now, one of the highlights of last week's study is the fact that your faith, or your response to the faith life that has not been tested by you being amidst your brethren, is not a thing we can put trust on yet. For example, if, let's say for adventure, I say I have enough capacity to love. So much capacity to love. But I stay alone in my house. I don't relate with anybody. Now, what am I loving? Is it my chairs or my table? Does my table have capacity to tempt me and get me angry? Now, if we get to the point where table is getting you angry, that person has, his own has crossed overboard. Praise the Lord. You know, but you see that beauty of being amidst ourselves. There will be something in that your brother. There will be something in that your sister. I remember God's servant, our pastor, said many years ago. He said the Lord brings people around you that are like you to pastor. And why does he do that? We don't see the salvation program in people being around us. Rather, we see them being a burden to us. James, you being around me would bring out some things that are just there that would never come out if I don't meet you. If I have never met you in my life, there are some things that might not come out. But because I met you, you will display some things. You see, what you are displaying is not just you. It is God wanting to save the two of us. So if there are, I was telling a brother sometime recently, I said there are always two responses to when God brings the light your way. You shut it down and you say you don't want it, and you allow darkness to have a stronger foothold, or you take it. And when you take it, by so doing, you deal with your own darkness. You also help your brother's darkness. Adadi Gosama Pasumeka was explaining it one time this way. He said, when scripture says love covers multitude of sin, he said he's not saying that love condones sins. It's not that love is permitting sin. You know, that's where the thing sounds. They say, no, love covers multitude of sin. What I've done, just forget about it. No. Love is not a condoner of sin. Love is not an acceptor of sin. But love is a deliverer of sin. And how does love do it? You've done what, for example, let me give you a very, very good example. What we said earlier. The woman was caught in the very act. Now, is Jesus an adulterous man? Would you catch Jesus committing adultery? Now, inside of Jesus, does he have anything at all that will make him become adulterous? Absolutely not. But you see, every one of them crucifying that woman, inside of them is worse adultery. So really, they can't give her life. So every word they will say in making sure that the woman is brought down, would bring the woman down, quite all right, and would also bring them down. You know, many times we feel the trouble around it is, we feel when we are, pastor, we feel when we are correcting our brother. Now, are we saying we shouldn't correct? No. No. We don't know what he's saying, she's not correct. But at times we feel when we are correcting our brother or correcting our sister, we want to achieve something that darkness is giving us an information that it should be like this. Many a times our correction is not out of life or out of light. Why would scripture, God says, don't judge? Why? Because you don't have all the sides. Have you been in a normal situation where, James, somebody came to you and reported the brother? He reported the brother. He said, you know, you've heard his own side. When you now meet the brother, he said, why would you do such a thing? I said, no. About the other person again. So you just get confused and say, oh God, I'm not tired. So who is that lying? We say the truth. I'm confused. So you can't judge. You get confused because you can't see all the sides. You can't see all the sides. So like I was saying, love does not just condone sin, but love has ability to give a life that, because what sin carries is death. He said, when lust is fully conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has finished its work, the next sin after sin is what? Death. So what sin is carrying in his pouch is death. So when that person is doing that act, what Satan is actually after is to kill the person. You know, in the days of the children of Israel, it was very clear how to kill. You commit it. Was Pastor TJ that said that? He said, he believes everybody in Israel is as if they have a pile of stones in front of their house, ready to stone. So I said, yeah, he has committed. So they kill you instantly. It's very fast. But you see, the stones that we go through now are stones that spirits hurl at us. The guy is still intact. The guy still goes to church. In fact, he's still lifting holy hands. But spirits have stoned him to death. They've measured a debt to him that makes it difficult for him to respond to life in a particular way. So when he says love covers, what love does really is that love proffers a solution to your debt problem. And by so doing, offer you life. When you live, life increases in the offerer of life. Do we get what I said? I am the one that is carrying love. I want to give you life. You have debt. You just brought debt to me. You just spoken to me roughly. I remember the story mommy shared one time. He said there was a particular sister, highly cantankerous, troublemaker of the present and the present. Just full of trouble. Everybody that saw her in church, even her pastor, everybody's afraid of her. He said, so this man of God came to their church to minister. And when the man of God got there, this sister, in her natural estate, went after this man of God. And the man of God said, me, I'm going to finish you. Hey, you don't know me. I will finish you. So the man of God got to his hotel room, getting ready to finish her the next day. He said, Holy Ghost just came to him and said, please, don't finish her. I've been trying to reach her since. He said, nobody has allowed me. Can you allow me reach her? I said, why not? Thank God the guy can hear Holy Ghost. The man of God can hear Holy Ghost. So on meeting the lady the next day, he said, sister, come, I'm sorry. I'm sure I must have done something that made you. He said, instantly the lady broke down and began to cry. She wept, and that's how she changed. But this is it. You know, the man of God offered life. He covered by love. She was healed.
He said, but immediately he went back to his hotel room.
Presence. Presence. Why? Life would increase. So when you give your sister, your brother life, because we are fellowshipping one to another, you will heal her death, you will heal her darkness, or heal his death or his darkness, and in turn, your life voltage would increase. The life voltage inside of you. Let's say peradventure, when you met that your brother or your sister, you have 3% of life. After that experience, she would have 1%. Because you would have delivered her from death. But your own percentage might increase to like 6 or 10%. Who doesn't want life to increase? So you now see what Satan cheats us of. Say, I just want to keep to myself. You see the way these brethren behave? It's when you get close to them now that wahala will start. Is that time they will know that I only have one shoe. If I have one shoe, is there any problem? Eh? Is that time they will now start saying things that they don't know? Now, what Satan is trying to do is to keep us away from life. Because where God commanded life forevermore is not by standing alone and standing aloof. He said it is amiss, brethren, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. It is critical for us to understand that our dwelling together is not just, I'm not just dwelling together because they said we should dwell together. It has to be in unity. And what is this unity? Paul was putting it in a very, breaking it open further. He said, till we all come to the unity of faith. And what is the unity of faith? Unity of a full Christ stature. Meaning, I have faith, I have hope that maketh not ashamed, hope that purifies the heart, and I have charity. So I have a full Christ. He is the one that dwells in unity. So when my unity is being threatened, meaning I have not yet taken all of Christ yet. So brethren should not just dwell anyhow. They are dwelling in unity. So the more I fellowship with my brother, the more I fellowship with my sister, the better my life of unity. If I stay alone, Pastor, I can't be saved. I know things that would never have left my life if I was staying alone. I know a lot of darkness that would have been hidden if I was staying alone. Eh? And one very beautiful place the Lord also helps is in marriage. Is in marriage. But you see, I miss brethren, there is help. Don't see it as, oh, they are putting another big burden on us. I just love my space. I love my space. I remember there were some brethren, lovely, sincere, beautiful believers. Lovely. But you can't stay with them. You can't stay with them. You can't. Because why? You drink water. You pour water on table. You didn't put water under something. You know this, mat. Table mat or something that will not make. They will finish you. They will hide. They will finish you. So everybody, even when you go and visit them, they want to give you food. You are thinking the food twice. Should I eat it or should I not eat it? I might spoil the table. Let me just leave their food. No, I'm okay, ma. Thank you, ma. God bless you, ma. I'm okay. I'm just fine. Because I know they start with me. I won't be able to survive it. Now, you see those things. In peradventure, they allowed it. Eh? Those things will deal with the formation in them. See that thing of, I hanged my fan here. Why did you remove it? Why must you remove it? Eh? And because of that, you can talk a saint to condemnation.
do you think at all? Is it that you didn't, you don't have brain? I've told you over and over and over again, this fan must remain here. And you removed it. How dare you? And they said, begin to shake me. I'm in trouble. Walade. It's not that judgment that God's servant, that daddy was giving. You know, mommy was one sharing the testimony, of course, that somebody went to do bully. Now, what the person did, is it right? If they ask every one of us to judge it, oh, you're drunk, the mommy shout on him. 60,000 every month. It's because they are not working. Don't mind them. If he's working, we know in Yoruba they will say that it's because you don't know the mark. You know, there are tribal marks in some tribes. He says it's because you don't know the tribal mark that money has. If you know money's tribal mark, you'll be treating money like this. Eh? See you, because you're not working. You're not earning salary. You're boiling big bully. You can't even cut it. Inside grill. Not anywhere. Inside grill. It's like somebody putting on iron for 5 hours. What are you doing? Hey, you're not paying B. You're not doing anything. Useless boy. Already you've dampened the person. And mommy didn't even see all of that. Just say, we don't do it like this. Daddy said she's shouting. You know, some of us will feel like, I can't stay with this daddy if it's like this. Abba! That's why he cannot bear his mind freely. But you see, those things are for salvation. You heard what mommy was saying yesterday, that being a lawyer, staying around people has a lot of things has to drop. A lot. So many things has to drop. Configurations has to drop. Now imagine, she talked about a particular friend of ours that is a bit old, elderly, about 4 years older than her. He said, I can't do this. And because of that, configuration intact. A lot of them are judges now, intact. You talk to them, you are sleeping in jail. You dare talk to me like that? Justice, Jemi Bewon. That's the end of your life. You end up in jail. Eh? I remember then in my church too also, that our pastor then is a lawyer. Imagine you have a pastor that is a lawyer. Anytime you hear that pastor is calling you, just know you are gone. Your life has ended. Your life has ended. A beloved brother, overtaken by a fault. Anybody could be overtaken by a fault. The Lord told again, he said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. This brother is one of the, he was a bass guitarist. Brother Nat. Bass guitarist in church then. Lovely bass guitarist. And he fornicated. Yes, it's wrong to fornicate. But by the time they finish him, but I leave church. You wear white, your heart is black. Black. Black heart. The guy just carry a load. I just left church. I don't do it again. You know, then in those days, choir wear white and their top is always white. In my church, then it's white. So how can the brother be wearing white and he has black hat? The brother just carry load go. Now, for us, that's a measure of judgment. But you see, the person talking, there are configurations in him that is intact. To him, he was dealing with a court case. He was dealing with a case in the court of law. This is, law is blind. He doesn't have sight. So I will hack you down. There was a time some of the youths then, you know, had problem, had challenge, wanted to write exam. These are committed, imagine, committed youths all their life. Imagine the way people serve in EGFM. All their life, they just come to church. They are doing this. They are carrying pompon. They are doing something. Now, this young man wanted to write exam. Jump. Went to pastor. He said, does the church look like a bank? Does the church in your eye, does it look like a bank? You get out of my office. Hey! I say, this one stronger. Now, the man's configuration is intact. He's a lawyer. So, any case you bring is dealing with court case. In fact, then, when you want to go and see pastor, you want to go and face Oputa Pane. I won't mention his name. I said, Pastor, Pastor is calling me. Pastor is calling me. Ah, what did I do? I'm in trouble. Praise the Lord. So you see, the Lord creates that scenario for us to harmonize as brethren, for us to dwell together. You will brush me, I will brush you. But at the end of the brushing, let it be that life has been transferred. Not that at the end of the brushing, we will never see again eye to eye. The Lord knows that everybody, he said the Lord added to the church, such as should be saved. So if we were saved, they didn't need to add us to the church. It's like saying they brought to the hospital such as should be healed. And the person is telling the doctor, I'm okay. He said, no, you are not. That's why they brought you here. He said, no, you don't understand. I came here intact. Don't tell me I'm sick. So the beauty of us dwelling together as a community is that the Lord wants life to increase amidst us. So let's not take it as something that they are putting undue burden on us. They are just giving us an opportunity. Pastor Flexi, you know that somewhere we've not stayed together before. We will be seeing ourselves in church. You know, church is big. Every Sunday we just have time. Somebody is one person that is just talking. You have no really interaction time. You don't know that maybe peradventure somebody will come to our fellowship together with you. And you wear slippers. And the brother, maybe there's no light, just enter your slippers. And maybe that palm, you bought it 30,000. And the guy just went to his house. And my dad, he said, who carried my palm? Who carried my palm? You now go to his house. The guy is taking it to bath. Yay! Yay! 30,000, all of you wear. I will finish you. Now, that will not happen in church. At least we are not in select. I will say, remove your shoe. So nobody will carry your shoe home. But when you see that, you say, yeah, I'm not coming to this association again. Association pastor, did you tell your member not to wear another person? Don't you have eyes? And by the time you see the slippers, you just feel like, how can I wear this again? As if, this brother is not nice. Remember those days, Pastor used to talk about the brother, they call him Sandpaper. I always remember Sandpaper. Sandpaper will sandpaper you. Imagine somebody taking time to save money to buy Christmas clothes and Christmas shoe. Before Christmas, maybe Eve to Christmas, Sandpaper carried the thing, wore the shoe, escaped. Came back after Christmas, not even bring the shoe the way it is, where to hang it on the roof. I just say, what she just did everything. You feel like dying. But you see, those things, what it does to us, it enlarges our capacity to love our brethren. There is no love that you can profess singly or being alone. It is when we dwell together. So Paul, David saying that how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, that it is in that dwelling that the Lord God commanded the blessing. And I'm trusting the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to put a stronger blessing upon us. Why is it that is in this season of charity, the Lord is also opening back house fellowship? You know, there's something more to it. Meaning there will be brushes. See that fellowship where you are, with the teacher, they make up and say, okay, I will go. Pastor said we should go. They will brush you. But you see, when they brush you, don't run away. Just know that salvation opportunity has once been opened unto me. So I can either choose not to get life forevermore and run back to my house and say, I'm not going to ask fellowship again. Or I will choose to say, no matter what it takes, I am going to touch life forevermore. Praise the Lord. Let's read through our manual. He said, in our last study, we found grace to see and understand the scriptural evidences of home churches, the importance of home churches, and the blessing of home churches. Today's study seeks to help us appreciate the place of home churches in the fostering of development of a stronger body community life.
It is good to know that as believers, members of the body of Christ, we can coexist amongst ourselves and yet not bond. Very important. We can coexist. You know, I said the other time, I was going to Canaan land. Canaan land is very big, very big. The day I stopped coming, nobody knew I stopped coming. Nobody called me. Nobody knows me. I wasn't in fellowship with anybody there. I was just coming, sit down. If they don't see me next Sunday, they've forgotten that the brother sat down there. Nobody even knows the face. Do you understand? But you see, imagine if I'm part of a cell in Winners. It would be difficult for me to just remove myself and they will not know that somebody is missing. Praise the Lord. So it gives room for a strong body community life. It is good to note that as believers, members of the body of Christ, we can coexist, really, amongst ourselves and yet not bond. Not commune as we ought to and be apart in our hearts. We can be apart in our hearts. Though we worship in the same local assembly, this is one major issue that home churches seek to address and correct. By enjoining us to come together at house fellowship level, the Lord provides an avenue for more community life. Understanding the communal life, let's go quickly. According to dictionary, a community is all the people living in the same place and subject to the same laws. Subject to the same laws. I remember something happened some years back. One of our beloved brother, you know, that was his first time of coming for EGFM meetings. We invited him. He's a professional. We wanted him to help us do some things. And when he came with a different configuration. Every one of us are like this. We greet. But he was like this. Day one, he was like this. Day two, he was like this. Day three, he was like this. Day four, he was like this. Day five, he was like this. Day six, he was already like this. Why? He was seeing a conversation in a community different from what he had. And because of that conversation, coming every day, something began to give way inside of him. Now, if there is no proximity, so to say, for us to live communally, there are some things that I may not drop. You know, there are a lot of things that might hide in the general church. Eh? There are a lot of things. Some people it might never show, never ever show, coming to church every Sunday that they have anger issues. Am I lying? It might never show, never. Some, it might never show that they have pride issues. Because it will just greet you. Well, all of us are in church. And pastor is there. Let's keep the church holy. You know those experiences where maybe you want to fight on the road. And so you just say, pastor. Pastor. And I was just greeting you. Where does that? We saw you. Eh? In church, you won't fight now. But this one is you and Danfo. I'll finish you today. The guy just, pastor, where does that? this guy has finished me. Eh? So, but you see that beauty of communal life. Of being around ourselves, being together amidst ourselves. Eh? You know, I was saying last week Sunday, allow your vulnerability to show. Allow it to show. Allow it to show. There are some of us, Bro Manuel, there are some of us, we can't take nonsense, Abby. Eh? But you know, when we're in church, we try to hide that not taking nonsense. We try. We try. And church own is very short. Just a short period. Everybody has gone back home. Worship God. Singer will sing. All of us will dance. Pastor will minister. Everybody's going home. Bye-bye. See you later. I remember there was something that happened so many years back. We had a wedding at where we used to have
School of Spirit at Ajegunle. Eh? It was a wedding. We had a wedding there. Then the church, we didn't have any space. So one of the brothers, I think we had their wedding there. And we were sharing food. You know, food wala. You know, we don't share food in church. What is it? We're sharing food. And while the food was going on, it was as if a brother, his own food was being delayed. Before we knew it. But that vessel. Tear ground. What is it? And they said they are walking in love, they are walking in love, they are walking in love. Why have they not brought the food here since? Ross, calm down. No! No! Now, in church, it's difficult for that to show. Eh? You know, house fellowship at times, we just say, okay, today's house fellowship, we're having love feasts. Love feasts. And alas, the love feasts, everybody got tutu meats. But they forgot that when they were sharing, they were just sharing tutu. When it got to your turn, it was just one meat. And you'll be looking at everybody's plates. Leave my plate. Why is their own tutu meat like this? Everybody's tutu meat, my own one meat. Issues we show. You know, one of the things I want us to put at heart is this. When those things show, yes, it's good to be ashamed about it. Eh? But let it also make you know that I still have issues. That I have things that needs to be solved. Eh? How many of us really are free? Maybe we still had food yesterday at Koshofe. When they were serving all the plates, you collected your own. Were you, are you sure you're not checking somebody? And this guy's meat is bigger. Why are they giving him this meat? Yeah, well, my own is. Is it because I'm working in sanitation? They don't know I'm also a saint. I have anointing. Ah, now wow. Yeah. So issues will show. But see, when those things show, make it obvious that this thing is a problem. Praise the Lord. So that's the beauty of communal life. If it's you that you are serving your food by yourself, if you put no meat, is it a problem? You will eat the food, no meat. I've eaten food, no meat before. It's my food. It's not a problem to me. I get to my house, I want to eat. There's no food. It's gari I see. I'll buy gari. Go buy granite for me. I chop. It's not a problem. But they now give me that gari and granite where people are taking rice and chicken. I get angry. So the Lord brings us together. I want this to sink deep inside of us. The reason for community bringing us together is primarily for salvation. Primarily for life forevermore. So if that is not embossed in my heart as the reason for this communal living, I will be offended at the brethren. You know, the people that is very easy to get offended with most is brethren. Brethren, it is very easy. I've heard people accuse brethren and they are hearing word of righteousness. And he's claiming he's hearing word. Forget what he's claiming. The reason why you're saying he's claiming is because something also is wrong inside of you. They've just brought all of us together. Staff favor to save us. Are we together? So, we operate, we are subject to the same laws when we live in that communal living. So as believers, living in the same locality and fellowship in the same assembly, like NLWC, our church, many other churches also have, they call them cell fellowships or cell centers. We are expected to form and exhibit a community expression through our obedience and subjection. To what? To what? So what is keeping the community? What is keeping the community? We are not saying it as if we are sure. What is keeping the community? So what we are obeying and responding to is the law of Christ. So if I begin to live short of the law of Christ, meaning I am not measuring up to the law of that community. I want of the law of Christ would say in a community,
I should prefer Pastor Sam more than myself. And how would it be easy for me to express that law? Can I express that law in isolation? Can I prefer my TV more than myself? Or I just look at my cup and I say, wow, what a cup. I want to prefer you. This week I won't drink with you. I just want to walk in love with you. The person is already going bonkers. A knot is loosed. But you see, preferring Pastor Sam, let's say for example, I know something happened yesterday. Of course, nobody knows, we're just in front playing. I wanted to, it was just four pieces of granite that is left. Myself and Pastor J were eating a particular granite. Just four pieces left. And I want to eat granite. He also wants to eat granite. I said, okay, what will we do? I was the one that took the last four pieces. I just felt it awkward to eat everything. It won't feel bad that I ate everything. I just felt it. It didn't just sit. I said, okay, I divided it. Take, let's eat together. As simple as that might be, it's a law I was responding to. Now, another law will teach me, prefer yourself. You don't chop before now. Me, I won't chop my own. That means they take the last one. I can even use a law. He will laugh last. The patient dog. I know in those days, the patient dog eat no bone. And so me that I'm laughing laughs last. Let me laugh best. But a law, another law will not allow me. I had to divide it. I say, you take. He doesn't know what I was doing. I just gave him and we both ate together. And we're okay. Praise the Lord. So in a community, we are all subject to a law. And that law is called the law of Christ. Praise the Lord. One of the major reasons, reading from a manual for home churches, is to bring forth a local expression of that life. There is more opportunity to express that life. There is more avenue to do what? To express that life. By living in accordance to the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, we would constantly be judging and tumbling spirits in the air of that locality. And bringing men to Christ as a result of that localized expression of God through Christ in that body of believers. So by obeying that law, by living by that law, you know, it was said that Paul the Apostle taught in Ephesus for a space of, I think, 2.5 years, almost 3 years. I think 18, is it 18 months or how many months? He kept teaching. And he just gathered a people. He wasn't the whole of Ephesus. He gathered a people and he was teaching them Christ. And whilst Paul was teaching the people Christ, and they were obeying, they were changing. As the change was being born in them, they said, Diana fell. Of course, the fall of Diana would upset the whole of Ephesus. How did Diana fell? Some people in that same locality began to bring forth a life, an aroma of life that is different from what was prevalent in that locality. And by so doing, they were tampering with structures in the air. Praise the Lord. So your walk of obedience is an help to others. You know, many times we are quick to say we want to do evangelism. Lovely, it's good. As a church, we've done evangelism not once, not twice. In fact, there was, is it months or so, that we stayed doing evangelism from location to location till we finally had one here. Major crusade. It was a major evangelism. Now, what we're saying, don't do evangelism. No, do evangelism. But see, obedience, that I can obey a law, just in my locality alone, just by standing and I'm obeying Christ's law, I am dealing with constellations in the air.
I'm dealing with spirits in the air. And by so doing, I am setting some people free.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So, the Lord gathering us in localities, 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 is not because God is, quote unquote, you know, he doesn't know what next to do. No, he's gathering us to a purpose. Is that, imagine if the way Lagos is just one big ball of darkness everywhere. Eh? And we now have pockets of light. One light in Akoka. Another one in Shibiri. One in Tedi. Different lights all over Ajegunle. Now, it is by nature's default that everyone that is in darkness would gravitate towards light. Is that not true? Eh? Everyone, by default, you just gravitate towards light. So, being a beacon of light in those places, he said, if the Son of Man be lifted, he would draw all men. So, raising a beacon of light, you give opportunity for men to come. But if you don't concentrate on becoming a light, and you allow yourself to be subsumed, or we allow ourselves to be subsumed to the prevalent darkness, meaning it will be difficult for us to also win others. So God is not just putting us in those localities because he just wants to fulfill a church tenant. I've watched God's servant, Adade Pastor Meka Iguchuku. He doesn't just do things because other churches are doing it. Eh? It's not because, okay, well, normally in every church, when you have a local assembly, there must be house fellowship, there must be Sunday school, there must be this one. No. 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 He doesn't. He's someone that you would think, Pastor, are we not going to do something about this thing? Let's do something. You know, if you look at it, during COVID, I'm sure, I'm not very sure, but I'm sure a lot of churches still had their house fellowships. Somewhere. I'm not very sure. But I feel it might not be large again. Maybe 2-3 people, they still had their house fellowship. But he just said, leave it. Leave it. Let's just wait. Let's wait on things. And all of us have been waiting. Throughout last year, we say, when are we starting as fellowship? He said, wait. I said, okay, no problem. No problem. So, it's not just about having those centers. He said, and I quote, saying last week, he said, one of the things the Lord kept in his heart is that gifts of Christ, ministry gifts, will be born from these centers. So for the Lord, it's not just an issue of having cell centers or house fellowship centers. It's that the Lord wants ministry gifts to be born from these centers. Centers that will be beacons of light. Praise the Lord. So the communal life, reading from a manual, of the church as expressed in house fellowship also puts us in a better position in the spirit to attract the ultimate blessing. Psalm 133 that we read. To attract the ultimate blessing. And what is the ultimate blessing? What is the ultimate blessing? We are not sounding as if we are sure. What is the ultimate blessing? What is the ultimate blessing? What is the blessed one wanting to bless us with? Eh? Life. He said, I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the ultimate blessing is life forevermore or eternal life. He said the truth of everlasting life is that it is fundamentally a communal life. It is what? It is what? A communal life. So consequently, all
all who would partake of this life must have demonstrable ability to live peaceably amidst brethren. So if I would demonstrate everlasting life, if I would say that I have everlasting life, where it will show, it must be first amidst my brethren. It must be where? First amidst my brethren. What gives us that assurance or that guarantee that God says God is light or God is life is that the kind of communal life between them, it is faultless and seamless. How would Jesus have all powers in heaven and on earth? And the man that possesses all powers in heaven and on earth says, I can of my own self do nothing. The same person that God gave all judgments to, brought everything and submitted it to God, and he himself came under God and said God should be all in all. Not taking away the reality that Jesus is God. Three persons in the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All God. Two people are being taught. One, nobody mentions about him. Have we opened before and heard the gospel of Holy Ghost? It's the gospel of Christ and the gospel of God. So Holy Ghost has no gospel. And Holy Ghost is not bothered that he doesn't have a gospel. They called him the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord. And he's okay with it. He's the seven spirits of Christ. He's the seven spirit of God. He's the one burning before the throne. And he's okay with it. So you see, that is a conversation of a life. Another conversation would want to give attention more to preeminence. That all of us are God now. P. James, imagine three of you open a company and everybody has equal share. Yours is 35, mine is 35, his own is 35. Same shareholder. Now they now bought the two of you Jeep out of our company money. Our company money. They now bought you Jeep. They now came to me and say, Bros, you go, please help us manage this Okada. Just for now. Let's start from there. We are going to court. It will work. We are selling this company. Everybody will take his equal share. A company worth $1 billion? You buy me Okada? Do you know who I am? I'm an equal shareholder. Now, in their conversation, they don't see that. Imagine what it means to say there is a gospel called the gospel of God. So God can be learnt. He said, for this is life eternal. What did they call it, life eternal? That they may know thee, the only true God. And who again? Holy Ghost, we sent. Jesus Christ, we sent. So meaning the only two gospel we are learning is two gospel of two beings. The third person is not bothered that he doesn't have a gospel. And he's not troubled. So when he said conversation of everlasting life, he's amidst brethren. So they are the actual brethren. They've been brethren before world began. They are living by that code of brethrenhood. They are not bothered. Holy Ghost is not bothered that you're not preaching about him. It's okay that he's a gift. It's okay that he's a fruit. There is no mystery of Holy Ghost. And he's not bothered. And he's not troubled. And he won't say, because of that, I won't be your spirit again. I've been warning you since. Just give me a gospel. Even if it's in chapter 1, give me a gospel. If you don't give me gospel, I will change you. I will remove myself and be your spirit. He's not bothered. He wears God. He wears Christ. And he's not troubled.
So you see, what troubles us that makes it difficult for us to live amidst brethren because of, oh, they are not giving me this, they are not giving me that, is because another conversation is running us. So the very sweet expression of everlasting life is amidst brethren.
Praise the Lord. So the blessing of communal life, just run through it very quickly. The goal of our fellowship is to gender close-knit relationship among smaller units of gathering amidst believers or amidst brethren. This fellowship is a blessing in that, one, it provides a place for greater expression of the law of Christ and the law of love. Eh? A greater expression of the law of Christ and, or which is, sorry, the law of love. Praise the Lord. Secondly, oneness of mind is further and better entrenched, thereby allowing for greater prosperity in the things of Christ in the individual saint's life, the home church, and consequently the local church at large. Praise the Lord. Yeah. They continue daily in the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread from house to house. So he gives that prosperity of the things of Christ in the individual saint's life. He creates a better room for prosperity of Christ's law. No wonder when one was trying to break that law in Acts, Holy Ghost had to judge it. Eh? There are some codes you don't just break. Holy Ghost had to make it an example, judge it. No. People are committing their things at the apostles' feet, not out of duress. It's out of a law. This is the beginning of this law. This in its pure form. Don't corrupt it. So Ananias and Sapphira decided to want to corrupt that law. They had to judge it. Don't bring this law into the midst of the saints. So it affords us the opportunity to encourage, help, and steer ourselves to obey and hold on to instructions and commandments of the Lord to us, both as a member of the body of Christ and as a local assembly. Is that not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together? Let us consider one another to provoke. When we went to Jos, we met a beloved sister. You know, after the meeting we had, one of the pastors there said, Pastor, I normally have a meeting every Thursday. I would like you guys to come. I said, well, we can't just come like that. We didn't send ourselves here. Let's talk to Daddy. So we spoke to Pastor and said, no, why not? Please go. Encourage him. Strengthen his hand. I know him. Strengthen his hand. I said, okay, no problem. We went there. So we met this lovely saint, beautiful sister, you know. So after teaching, we gave opportunity for questions. So she was asking a question. And her question was that, there's this family that she normally helps to take to church. You know, and I think maybe they stay together or stay in the same area or so. And they are already dealing with her. So, in fact, before she said it, I said, you know, at times, even in carrying them, they can break your car door. They say, hey, Pastor, they broke my car door. You see that thing? It's to enlarge you. I said, when they break it, fix it. Still carry them. Obeying the law of Christ. Not be by mouth. I want to become Christ. I want to become Christ. It's not something they will pour on you and tomorrow you become Christ. Obey. Jesus told them. He said, learn of me. He said, you want to become me, Abi? Learn of me. Who am I? Meek and lowly. So Paul told them in Ephesians. He said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have been taught of him and you have heard him as the truth is in Jesus. So that gave her an
opportunity. So she had been finding struggle that can she continue this. But immediately after the teaching, she said, okay, no wonder this is what she's going through, because she's not exposed to that kind of teaching. She just said, okay. He said, Pastor, thank you. You have encouraged me to do more. Because already said she was already getting with it. She has stopped carrying them. Her life is too much. Number one, fuel is not okay like that. And you have to, I said, no. I said, don't just drop them on the way. Carry them to their house. Say, hey! This one is killer weapon. No, that's how we become. So, as fellowship might open, it might be that along the way, you might need to go and wait on a particular brother or a particular family that you are going to bring to us fellowship. And some of them might weary you. But you see, that wearying you is expiring darkness in you. If the opportunity is not created, that darkness that is in you will remain intact. It will stay there. It will tabernacle there. And the more you quote and unquote grow in the things of the Lord, the darkness will be growing with you. That's the danger around it. I wonder what they would have been telling Balaam at his young age in faith that he wasn't giving attention to. That one day, they had to hire him to come and curse the people of God. And he would have, and they even, God showed him mercy now. Don't go. The guy didn't answer. They allowed for the first time more animal spoke. God did a miracle he has never done before. He allowed an animal to speak for these stubborn prophets. Even in the midst of that miraculous work, Balaam still refused. Why? Gain was in his heart. He can't let it go. So you see, the Lord creating room amidst ourselves for a better communal life is to help us expire some things. Peace out, some things will not go out of my life if I don't meet you. If you don't weary my soul. Eh? If you don't trouble me in some ways. And by the time those things begin to go, I am getting free from darkness. Because darkness has latent power. Latent power. The guy can relax with you even to the most holy place. That's the most dangerous thing about it. He can follow you from camp and he'll be tagging along with you. Enter outer court with you and still be smiling. Say, don't worry, I'm your paddy now. Don't worry, just leave me alone. I'm not harmful. Am I harmful to you? I'm not doing you harm, I'm just helping you. Enter into holy place with you. You enter into most holy, the guy is still there with you. But he has a commandment to make sure you won't inherit anything. Where you will fall, the person, you'll be shocked. So, allowing ourselves to live in communal life allows for some darknesses to be expired. Number four, the local expression of a church is better discovered, worn, put on, and expressed both in the realm of the spirit and naturally. What does this mean? There is a law that through the local assembly, the Lord is communicating. Ability to express that law. Ability to wear that law. Ability to become that law is giving a more better expression in house fellowship. There's a better expression of it. There is a better way to say, okay, there's a way I can relate with Pastor Sam from afar. And we really don't have anything to do together. But by the time we are seen, we sit in the same house fellowship. Is that time I know that he has a middle name. His name is not just Sam. He has one name. What's his name, sir? So you see now. You know, at times many things about ourselves we don't know. A lot of things about ourselves we don't know. But as our centers, we better express Christ's life. We better wear that Christ life. Praise the Lord. Number five, a place for better bonding amongst God's people. We've said this over and over. A place where we watch more for each other. We become more our brother's keeper. And the things that belongs to each other. So you know that God is concerned about brethren life. The first thing the Lord asked Cain, what was it? Where is your brother? Huh? Where is your brother? So God is interested about brethren life because they are the first brethren. They live by that same code. Praise the Lord. Finally, individuals have access to counsels and have opportunity for questions to be answered. There are a lot of things, you know, like I said last Sunday, it will be a bit very difficult for God's servant, our daddy, teaching under the Spirit, teaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, responding to a flow that, you know, Daddy Oyewoke will say that, I am following. Eh? He doesn't know the message. He is following. Now, you're asking somebody a question. Is it the angel who asked the question? Say, no, no, wait, wait, wait. What you said, please, go back. So, angel, they say, what you said, you should go back. He's also following. So, teaching in that place, it might be difficult for you to answer some questions. It might be difficult for some questions to be brought forth. But at our fellowship level, questions can be asked. For example, there was a question asked yesterday at the workers' retreat. And when we asked that question, every one of us, before Pastor I went to SI, said, this person needs to see his pastor. How can you be working from 8 to 10? You have to kill yourself. You need to see your pastor. Go and sit down and discuss with your pastor. You get problem. Oh. Monday to Saturday, you're working 8 to 10. Problem day. You have no life. Let's leave. You want to join department? Leave department. It's not department that is your problem. It's your life. So that person has a cell pastor, a house fellowship pastor, who look into it. There are some jobs some people say they want to say, they say, no, 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 you can't take this kind of job. No, this one is, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for you. It's not okay. And if prevention, the person, maybe because of some situations, they need to get a job. If the person gets a job, we are already thinking, we have to get you another job very fast. Just know that that job is not it. Oh. Just manage it so that we can escape this trouble. It's just wisdom. Let's escape this one. And once you escape this one, they will look for another job. We have to get another job as quickly as possible. So, at our fellowship level, such things. For example, does our daddy Pastor Maker know that some people work 6 to 12 midnight? Does he know? He can't know everybody's work time. He can't. I say, okay, everybody go and write your time of work and write it out. What time will he have to be? Okay, who is this person? What's his name? There are a lot of issues. Pastor will just say, guys, you guys just go and handle it. So I don't have, just go and sort it out. So at our fellowship level like that, we have better interaction, access to counsels, and have opportunity for questions to be answered. So let's see the beauty and the benefit of it more than what we see as the burden that want to be placed upon us. It's not a burden. It's just an help by the Lord that the Lord wants to bring our way. Praise the Lord. So like I said, going back to that Psalm 133, can we read it together again one more time? Psalm 133, 1-2 go. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So where does the Lord command the blessing? Verse 1, as is in unity. It is in the dwelling together of brethren together in unity that would guarantee the blessing being commanded. So let's not forsake our gathering. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. Hebrews 10:25. Give me quickly. Is that not forsaking the assembling, which is the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is? So the manner of some is that they would forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But when we assemble together, what do? We exhort one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Which is this day that is approaching? Is the day of the Lord. It's the day of the Lord. It's the end of all things that Daddy has been teaching about. That is the day that is approaching. And for the day to approach, our assembly will become... You know, Daddy once said one time, we complain we have plenty meetings. We never begin. It will increase. It's definite, it will increase. You see, as the day approaching, assembly together will increase. It must increase. Don't feel bad. Because why? Where will they go? When you get to the world to come, you think you become a lawyer? Eh? When you get to the world to come, you think you become an engineer and building the house of the world to come? Constructing bridges and road? What will be learning is life. Your curriculum, Monday to Friday, if there is Monday to Friday there. Eh? Every day per second billing is life learning. So why not train yourself and get used to that learning of life now? So that when you get there, you know, Baba Ezekiel of blessed memory said one time, he said, when you take a sinner, and I say he's a sinner, if you take him to heaven, you are punishing him. The guy will be angry and he will leave. Because the laws that configured him is different from the laws there. It's like taking somebody that is used to eating 3 bowl of eba in the morning. You now take him to Buckingham Palace and they are giving him tea. And one slice of bread. The guy will run away the next day. Say, they want to kill me. Say, what did they do to you? They are giving me tea. But you see, the people that are there, they are used to that life. They take tea in the morning. I remember those days, you know, just sharing this example, like one of my mom's elder sister then, she stays in Ibadan. She has stayed all her life in the UK. So anytime they say, what's going to do holiday with her? It's sorrow that fills her heart. But when you wake up in the morning, they just take one tiny slice of bread and tea. I say, oh, that's it. This is it. I want to go home. I want to go home. Say, what's the problem? I just want to go home. Is it between you? No, I want to go home. They are not helping me here. So, laws will determine what you will respond to. So, if what we are going to be doing for eternity is learning life, I need to get used to it. So, if I'm complaining, their meeting is taking too long. A church should be two hours. It should be done with church. 2 hours. What are they doing? Message, 20 minutes. Just indomine. Pa, message. The Lord will bless you and keep you, go and prosper in the name of Jesus. Tomorrow you are blessed. Amen. Next week you enter it. Amen. No. They have to teach you life. Because what you'll be doing for eternity is learning life. So I have to be used to it. Eh? Imagine Paul teaching people overnight. Somebody died. They were not bothered. They just went to, oh boy, you don't die. You know they go. All of us go learn this life together. Stand up. Come back. Yeah. Sit down. Let's continue. And it wasn't a major issue. This guy just joined them and they continue teaching. So let's get used to it. Meetings will increase. Just prepare your mind. It's not because they want to overburden us. It must just increase. As we see the day approaching. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands and bless the name of the Lord for today's Sunday school? I'm sure we are blessed. So much blessing. Open your mouth and bless the Lord. Give him glory. Open your mouth and thank him. Father, we thank you for blessing us. We give you praise. Thank you for speaking to us through your servant. Thank you for much grace. Blessed be to your name, our Father. We rejoice in this season that you are speaking to us in this manner.
Thank you, Lord, that this word that we have heard will bring forth fruits. We'll walk in the light of these things. We'll yield to these things. We'll yield to these things in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we say thank you, Pastor? Thank you, sir, for laboring tirelessly to ensure that these things are passed across with the examples given. Hallelujah. God has blessed our pastor so much with grace. I don't know how to round up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not here to round up. I'm just here to, I feel I was just lead prayers so that we just pray and trust God that this thing that we have heard will sit down in us or will become part of us. Amen. Talking about the house, I was just looking at, when Pastor was talking, towards the end of the study, I was just looking at the burden of God's servant, our daddy, for house fellowship, coming to reality. Praise the Lord. I'm just seeing that coming to reality. Sometimes when God's servant, our daddy, and our parents say some things, they look as if it's a very high and a tough and a lofty dream that can never be achieved. Looking at it from the eyes of, humanly speaking. Now sometimes that's why scripture said, believe the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe his prophet, you will prosper. Sometimes when words like that come, that true house fellowship graces, ministry graces will be raised. It looks, Pastor, you don't know what you are talking about though. But I'm telling you, through this study, I'm seeing the reality coming to pass. Amen. I'm seeing that God actually wants that to happen in our days and in our time. And blessed are we when we believe the Lord and we believe his prophet. So let's give our heart to this thing that we are hearing. Let's trust God. Let's believe the things that God is saying through his servant. Praise the Lord. Let's open to that scripture again. I believe it's a cardinal scripture for us that we must not forget. Psalm 133 is a scripture that we must not allow to let go like that. It's a blessing that God has brought to us. And God will help us to come into the blessing and exhaust the blessing that he has set for us. In this scripture, it said, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Pastor dwells so much on this. The issue of dwelling together is very important. It's very key for us. Dwelling, I think one of the ministers said during the week, I can't remember which meeting was that, dwelling, or someone was leading prayer. It's not just, maybe it was last week, it's not visiting. It's not once in a lifetime, maybe you just visit and go. When you dwell with someone, you live with the person. It's a sense of being residents, when you say dwelling, a state of dwelling is not a state of visitation. Praise the Lord. When you visit like a guest. When you go to your brother's house and your sister's house, you go like a guest. This scripture is not written with that sense. This scripture is written with the sense of, I'm not leaving you. Praise the Lord. We are together in these things. Praise the Lord. We are not leaving each other. Praise God. I want you to look at somebody beside you and say, we are not leaving you. I am not leaving you. You are not leaving me. We are in this together. And together, we will inherit life. Praise God. It's in togetherness that life will be communicated. Life, as Pastor said, life would not be communicated in isolation. Praise God. The program of salvation will not be actualized in isolation. Is going to be together. That's the sense that this scripture is written. Is how good and pleasant it, meaning that when God sees brethren dwelling together in unity, it pleases him. Praise God. It does what? It pleases him. It brings pleasure to God. And that pleasure provokes God to command life. Without that dwelling together in unity, life will not flow, Pastor said. So the condition for life to prosper or to come into blessing, the blessing. It's like he commands. Not to command is to release. Hallelujah. When they say the Lord commanded the blessing, meaning that he will release blessing. What is the blessing? Life forevermore. But the condition, you know, you can dwell in life forevermore being commanded or being blessed with life forevermore. But if you miss the instruction, which chapter 1, as Pastor was saying, verse 1 was saying, brethren must dwell together in unity. Praise the Lord. I'm just reemphasizing what Pastor said. Brethren, we must learn to dwell together. Nobody is, it's not for monitoring our life. Dwelling together is not to, nobody is after monitoring you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is by, we must understand the import, the blessing of brethren. If you don't understand it, you can live among brethren but lose the blessing that comes or the benefit of dwelling together amidst brethren. Pisam was leading us to pray this morning. He said that it's not just enough to be attending church. You can be attending church and not miss meeting, but if your heart is not properly aligned, you can miss the blessing that comes when you come to church. It's the same way. You know, you can dwell among brethren, amidst brethren. Not dwelling, you can be dwelling with people, but your heart is not dwelling. You know, dwelling is not, is beyond the physical arrangement. You know, some people are in this community, but they are not in Nigeria.
Ah, okay, maybe you don't understand.
You don't understand me. Some people are in our community, but they are not in Nigeria. You've never seen them face to face. Praise God. I'm not saying that if that's the case, you should relocate. You know, somebody, you can be saying something. Somebody can be here. That's not what I'm saying. Praise the Lord. But wherever you are and you are in this community, because this community is not just a community in the physical. We have a community of brethren that are also following us. Much more. We also have communities that are localized, no? Because that's what God wants to achieve. In that place they are, God is commanding them. They are gathering together. They are also yielding to a law of life that we are also yielding with too in this season, in this place that we are in. Praise God. Because what God wants to bring forth a life in our locality. So, brethren must learn to dwell together. So, I was saying that you must learn to receive or to yield yourself to the life of the community, so that the blessing that the Lord is commanding will reach out to you. That I will not just be a tag along in a community. I will learn to yield myself and yield my life and pattern my life in such a way that when the Lord, it will please the Lord. It will bring pleasure to the Lord. So when the Lord sees that, there is something that it provokes the heart of the Father to begin to command blessing. 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 You will see prosperity of everlasting life. Why? Because a community of people are living a life that is not normal on the face of the earth. You know, Mommy was saying that during workers' meeting, that even where you live, don't you look strange? I don't know whether it was yesterday she said it. Don't you look strange in your community where you are staying, in your compound? You know, in our compound, we come out, you know, these days, some days, we just come out, we just clean the compound, we clear, we sweep. One of my neighbors will come and say, why are you disturbing yourself? You can call all these boys that you can just give them 2,000 or 3,000 naira and then they will clean. I say, okay, don't worry. I just smile. I just, in my heart, he does not know, he does not understand what is going on. That's a community. It's in that we understand that. We understand some people don't want to, give themselves to certain things. Praise the Lord. It differs.
It can be anything. It's when we dwell together that we see our lives. And as Pastor said, don't feel bad that you see an issue concerning your life. Maybe you are not measuring up to a particular life or a standard. Then you begin to feel bad. No, it's a call or it's a state of life that should ask, make you call for help. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's good and it's very important for brethren to dwell together in unity, because the program of salvation will not thrive in isolation. For the program of salvation to thrive or to prosper, there must be a community. A communal life must be initiated. A communal life must be maintained. A community life must be established, must be seen for salvation to prosper. Because I will not receive salvation in my room when I lock myself in the room. Salvation will not meet me there. Praise God. Salvation will not come and meet me when I'm locking up myself. What am I doing? Maybe probably I'm fasting. I'm praying all day long. Every time I'm just locking up myself, I'm just meditating on the scripture, you know, 247. You know, it's good. But that is not how salvation will come. Hallelujah. You can go and ask the monks. The kind of discipline, the kind of dedication, the kind of commitment. Hallelujah. So salvation wants, God wants us to prosper in the program of salvation. I think it was Pastor Tijer that said something, that life or love that is not tested or tried cannot be trusted. Why? Love has to be. We've been hearing about charity, 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 love, love, love. It's in the midst of the brethren that that love that we've been hearing about will be tested and be tried. God can't trust us with higher life if what we've gotten or what we've heard has not been tested or tried. And how they try it and how they test it is in the community. So I will not isolate myself and think that I'm prospering. No, I will just be deceiving myself. Hallelujah. It's by living together, you know, we brush ourselves. We disagree. You know, the fact that we disagree doesn't mean that, doesn't make everything end. You can ask married people. Praise the Lord. The fact that, you see, sometimes, you know, I talk with my wife, I tell her that, look, what makes us disagree is not as strong or as stronger than what brought us together. So you have to understand, in community, what makes us disagree with one another is not more powerful than what brought us together. Is it salvation? It's because of that salvation, chapter 1, verse 1 Peter. He said, because of this salvation, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that is yet to be revealed. So you can see, if when salvation is in, when the program of salvation is in place. Praise God. When the program of salvation, the program of everlasting life is in place, what God will do, God will not compromise anything. Power will be made available. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, as we see the day approaching. Pastor was saying, this day approaching is the last day. Is the day that the Lord is showing forth his program or the program of the end. You can't come into the program or the allocation of the end in isolation, on keeping yourself away from your brethren or hiding from the brethren. Praise the Lord. So God will grant us enough energy and enough sense
As you are in the midst of the brethren, you will be in the brethren indeed. I will not just be in the brethren to add the numbers. How many are you in the house fellowship? We say maybe 20, 30, but you know, but how many are really involved in the life of the community? That's what the Lord looks at. How many of us are really truly involved in the community life, in obeying that law of Christ? Praise God. You know, that the way Pastor was speaking, that obedience of the life of Christ is, you know, that's evangelism. Will I say 90% done? Let me be fair. Let me say 80%. But I feel it's more than that. Yes, sir. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples and you love me. If you love one another. Praise God. Yes, sir. Men will not just, you know, there is something that evangelism is a spiritual thing. Oh, it's not exercise, not a physical exercise of carrying Bible. It's good to carry Bible around. But I'm telling you, there are spirits that fight people. You know, you don't know. God has helped us. You don't know what people are combating with. You know, just to be born again, you know what it means? Spirits fight people just not for them not to be born again. I'm talking about born again. I'm not talking about your eyes of understanding being enlightened. I'm talking about born again. There are evil spirits, fallen spirits, that make sure that people stays in darkness. That they are not born again. So it's not zeal that will make people born again. It's beyond that. A people must invoke something in the spirit. And how you do that is a community life. By yielding to a law or a commandment of life that is not normal. Hallelujah. So the community life that God is calling us into, because understanding this in the context of house fellowships or house fellowship churches will help us to maximize the benefits. There is a juice that we are supposed to, you know, pull out or drink when we yield ourselves to this instruction of loving one another or of yielding ourselves to house fellowships. So much benefit, as Pastor was saying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So my desire and my prayer is that we'll find grace to respond and yield to the law of Christ in our communities, in our house fellowship communities. Praise the Lord. Because it's by doing that spirits, evil spirit, as Pastor said, will be judged. We set men free with our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm trusting God that the Lord will bring us to a place where we'll prosper in the commandment of love. As we yield ourselves this season, the Lord is calling us to give more importance our heart. There is a way we can regard house fellowship. There is a way you know, the way it is in the heart of our daddy, our God servant, Pastor Emeka. I want it to be like that. Praise the Lord. I want it to be like that in my heart. Because the way it is in God's servant, our daddy, that is how it is in the heart of the Father. That we must plug into something. There is something in the house fellowship centers, churches, that the Lord wants me. It's not that just coming and attending church on Sunday may not work it out. Praise the Lord. Just attending church Sunday service may not work it out. But by yielding myself, you know, sometimes some of us just want to talk to daddy. We just want to talk to daddy. You just want to talk to daddy. Something that if you talk to your Hannah, you must know that anything that you talk to your house fellowship pastor or house fellowship leader, it gets to daddy. He knows about it. Praise the Lord. But some will just want to talk to daddy directly. Praise the Lord. It's good. If you have that opportunity, it's good. Amen. But I'm telling you that don't, in your heart of hearts, let your try, because one of the benefits that we read in this benefit or how the blessing of communal life is that individuals have access to counsel, have opportunities to for questions to be answered. Praise the Lord. I want us to trust God in our heart. There is something in the heart of God for us to come into in obeying the instruction of the Lord, or yielding or giving ourselves fully in the issue of house fellowship, or giving ourselves in communal life, community life, in our house fellowships. As we do that, we will come into a blessing. We will come into the blessing. Because life will be commanded. That's something I'm so sure of. Life will be commanded when we learn to live together in unity. Can we begin to respond to the Lord? I want us to pray. Can we be on our feet? Can we be on our feet? Can we be on our feet? There is a desire of God. I don't just want us to wave it and put it aside. Something God does, God's servant, as Pastor said, God's servant, our daddy, does not just do things anyhow. He is led by the Spirit. And if he's led by the Spirit, the onus lies on us to believe the Lord our God, and also believe his servant, that whom he has put, you know, over us, that the Lord will help us, that every blessing hanging over us in the obedience of house fellowship, that the Lord will cause us to come into it. Can we pray in the name of Jesus? Open your mouth and pray that the Lord will bring us into the blessing as we yield to the life of a community, that the Lord will help us as we obey the Lord in a communal life. The Lord will help us to come into the blessing as we yield ourselves to come into the blessing of dwelling together in unity. The Lord will help us to come into life, 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 in the name of Jesus.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.